Well, I've been preaching through the book of Revelation, and I know we will wrap up by the end of the year somehow, okay? The next sermon is on the millennium, but I was like, this isn't a great sermon on Friendship Sunday, Chili Sunday, so the millennium will have to wait. The 1,000 years will have to wait till next week, next Sunday, and I'll get back to Revelation. So the Lord gave me this message here, and it's why I enjoy being a Christian. This isn't just me. I'm going to share why I enjoy being a Christian, but I'm actually just speaking for all Christians. So why we enjoy being a Christian. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the word says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." You see, you should be living in such a way that people see a difference in your life and want to know, why do you have that hope, that joy, that love that comes from being a believer, for being a Christian? And it should be so obvious that people are asking you. I saw this saying, I thought it was very appropriate. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. You should live such a way in communion with the Lord that people who don't even believe in God are like, maybe there is a God. Look at the difference in that person's life who claims they're a believer. Ask me why I'm so happy, that hope, that joyful. You know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, be joyful always. And so there should be this joy, this hope, this happiness. I claim that in some sense, you should live in such a way that it doesn't matter what the law is about in your job, that you're not allowed to share your faith. You don't have to worry about it because the people at your job will ask you to share your faith. It isn't like you have to go and preach to people at your job. People come up to you and say, hey, why is it that you're so different? Why is it you're so up all the time? Why is it you're so hopeful and joyful and you're so loving and you're so different? What's the secret? They're asking you, they're asking you to share your faith. You don't have to go up to them and say, can I share my faith? They'll ask you to share your faith. That's how we should be living as believers. So I thought, okay, here's Psalm 68:3. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. So I want to give you 7 reasons why we should be the most joyful people at the jobs we work and in the neighborhoods we live and among all of our relatives. Here are 7, and I got 8 is the bonus. I didn't want to make the sermon 8 reasons. I thought, hey, it sounds better. 7 reasons why we're joyful and 1 bonus. Here are my 7 reasons. The first reason I enjoy being a Christian is because of my salvation. Psalm 32, blessed is the man, the woman whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. There is nothing like living with a clean, clear conscience that my sins are forgiven and Christ paid for them on the cross and I can go to heaven. I don't have to pay for my own sins. The older you get outside of Jesus, the more you have to live with a guilty conscience of all the things you've done through your life. That's why older people who don't know the Lord seem to be walking with a burden. The burden of a guilty conscience of all the lies and stealing and wrong things they said and did and wrong feelings. Why they're building up on them. But as a Christian, wow, a clear conscience. I can stand before God and my sins are forgiven. This is a man, this is a true story. He belonged to the Confederate army. They were in battle, and he got separated from his troop. I don't know what you would call it, his group of soldiers. And he's living in the woods for weeks and weeks, scared to death that the Union soldiers will find him and kill him. But he is starving in the woods. And so after 3 or 4 weeks, a guy's passing by on a horse. He decides to come out and hold him up. And he says, you know, stick him up. I need your food. I don't want to do this, but I'm starving to death for 4 weeks. Give me your food. Well, the guy on the horse says, soldier, didn't you hear the news? And the soldier goes, what news? The Civil War is over. And President Abraham Lincoln has pardoned all the Confederate soldiers. You're free to go into the town and get all the food you want. Of course, that was the happiest news he had heard. Listen, I used to be an enemy of God because of sin. When you're an enemy of God, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They hid from God. They hid in the woods. When you sin, you hide from God. God becomes your enemy. But listen, the good news is that Christ Jesus died for our sins and has a pardon. God has a pardon for all of his enemies, you and me. And when we accept that pardon, wow, the benefits, the blessings that are ours. How many know who this is? Okay. This is a Hollywood individual who is in big trouble for his behavior towards women. Since this has happened, lots of other Hollywood actors are now in trouble too, as more and more people come forward. And I noticed that the politicians are now doing the same thing, and they're all pointing at each other as horrible, rotten, no good sinners. It's amazing watching the news how all the Hollywood people, the sports people, the politicians are in this self-destruction mode on how rotten and evil and sinful all of them are. And I think to myself, wow, church, what an opportunity. We can actually go to these people and say, hey, you guys are only discovering now what we as Christians have discovered long ago, that we're sinners and that we deserve hell. And praise God, because of what Jesus did, we can have a clear, clean conscience. Now, you still might have to face earthly consequences for your behavior. But do we have good news? If I met this guy, he's living with incredible guilt, I would say, I've got some good news for you. You can have the forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ. Right now, I know you are so down in the dust on how sinful you are. I've got the greatest news. That's the way I was. That's who I am too. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I've got forgiveness. I just think it's fascinating. What an opportunity for the church as the world is all pointing to each other how sinful they all are. Instead of us going, you're right, you guys are so sinful. This is the best time for the church to step in and say, join the rest of the crowd. That's been our message all along. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we've got some good news for you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second reason. I don't know if that makes you happy or not, having a clear conscience. Sometimes Christians have a clear conscience. We forget the joy. I remember, because I was older when I got saved. So I remember the guilt that rolled away off of me when I gave my heart to Jesus. The second reason I enjoy being Christian is because of church. In Psalm 122, I rejoice with those who said, let's go to the house of God. I love God's created people, obviously, to enjoy music. And I believe that the primary reason God gave us music is to worship him. to praise him. And so I just love coming to church and singing with the saints and worshiping. I love the Word of God that acts like a window into which I can understand and see the world and what life is all about. This is here's a picture. This isn't a picture of my wife and I, but it would be. Here's a picture of a Sunday morning, getting up out of bed. Is this how your Sunday morning is? But I would say this is the way it should be, right? The third reason I enjoy being a Christian is because of prayer. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. There is so many verses. You see, one of the verses I have there is Jesus said, pray so that your joy will be complete. Jesus says in Matthew, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door is open. In James, it says you do not have because you do not ask. So there's so many verses on the power of prayer. And I think it's neat, like living your life talking to God. Like prayer to me isn't just Wednesday night prayer meeting. Praying to me is like all day long, you're just talking to Jesus. See, I got this theory. You know you're all talking to your own self. Do you know that? Does anyone know that? Is there anyone here that doesn't talk in your mind? Okay, I just want to see if there's any zombies in our midst. Okay. So you're talking to yourself. Now, here's what I believe. That God created us to talk, but it was meant to talk to him. In fact, I'll claim that for the people that aren't talking to God and God talking to them, that they psychologically will mess up themselves when they're only talking and listening to themselves. Everyone with me? If you're not talking to God, then you're talking to yourself. And I think over years and years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of you talking to yourself and you answering yourself, you will mess yourself up psychologically. Because God created that self-talk is to be God talk. So as you're living through the day, you're talking to God, not just to yourself. You're talking to God, and you're asking God to move and to bless. Now, this is what I noticed in the 40 years that I've been walking with the Lord. I love praying to God, and whatever's coming up, I pray, God, I need this help, and let me know it's from you by making it a miracle. I need a spouse. How I met my wife was a miracle that God. Then when my wife and I needed a house, our first house, we looked at lots of homes, but it was like, yeah, in our flesh we could have got that. We're praying, Lord, we want to know. The desire of our heart is to have a home for our family, and God did what some of you know as our $4,000 miracle house. That $4,000 house is all we've ever invested in a home from that point to today, is $4,000. With our family, with health, with our ministry, God, we're going to give it to you, and we'll know that the answer comes when it's a miracle, when it's something amazing, unique. Now, only the old timers will know who these people are. Who's the guy? Bob Hope. I'm thinking anyone that's younger than 40 probably doesn't know Bob Hope. Bob Hope was a comedian, and he was probably like the number one comedian, and probably a lot cleaner than the comedians of today, I would imagine. Does anyone know who the woman is? It's Barbara Eden, okay, who I think is still alive, although I don't know. I Dream of Jeannie, okay? So I just stole this picture, but this is the true story. Forget Barbara Eden. I just put in the internet Bob Hope and an airplane. And that's the picture that came up. But Bob Hope was on an airplane, and the airplane was experiencing horrible turbulence. And there was a Christian in front of Bob Hope that started to pray for help. And Bob Hope taps him on the shoulder and says, "Can you make that prayer a package deal?" Okay? And he says it out loud. Everyone in the plane kind of laughs. And because it's funny. Obviously, if the God answers that person's prayer, it would be a package deal. This is what's neat about praying. When you're young in the Lord, most of your prayers are for yourself. You know, when I was young in the Lord, "Lord, I need a home, I need a job, I need, you know, bless my marriage, my kids, my finances. It's all about me." When you get older, you learn to make prayers package deals. So when you get old, so now, if someone at your job says, "Man, I'm going through a tough time with my marriage," I'm like, "Let me pray, make this a package deal." And you pray that God would bless their marriage and your marriage, make it a package deal. And now God answers that prayer, and that person is amazed that you talk to God about using their name, and it helped their marriage, and they want to know the hope that you have inside of you that you were able to pray. And or they just got a physical problem. They just got a bad report from the doctor, or they're looking to buy a house, or there's lots of reasons for you. That's what makes prayer even more exciting now, is when you begin to realize, I don't always have to pray for myself. It doesn't always have to be about me. Pray for others. It's so much joy to see when God starts answering your prayers on behalf of others that leads to them wanting to know about Jesus. Fourth reason I enjoy being a Christian is because of the abundant life. So you know in John it says, "I've come that they may have life and life to the full," or life abundantly. Robin and I don't want to have an average marriage. Just an average marriage. Some people are okay with that. Just an average marriage. Robin and I want an abundant marriage. We want a marriage that's just oozing over with joy, happiness, excitement, adventure, and, you know, enjoyment, grandchildren. We want an abundant. We don't want just the average marriage. I don't want to raise average kids. Just average. I don't want just an average relationship with my kids where you talk to them every so often. In fact, Robin and I have 6 kids that are our best friends. 6. It's wonderful looking back that we have 6 best friends of our kids. We want an abundant family. I don't want just an average job. Just a job to pay the bills, a job. I want an abundant job. I want a job that's exciting and fulfilling and what God has for me. That's how I think as Christians, all of us should. God's got this abundant life for all of us. The fifth reason I enjoy being a Christian is because of my finances. So Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled, and your vats will brim, filled overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." So, Christians should be honoring the Lord with your finances, and you should be just, God will do miracles in your life with your finances. So Robin and I, in the first 10 years of our ministry life, we were planting churches. We did not get any subsidy. Our salary was like, I don't know, we made like altogether, we made like $23,000. Probably the average at that point among other people was $30,000, $35,000. But the Lord blessed and the Lord took care of us. This is a picture. For 20 years, we bought a van. A 15-passenger green van. Like, this is not the actual picture of it, but it is so, that is the same color and the same. And my wife drove that van with our 6 kids for 20 years. And in fact, it's only just a few years ago, probably what, 4 years ago, that it finally could not be repaired anymore, and a tow truck had to come and haul it away. And we literally cried because that van, over 20 years, we had babies in that van. We raised our family in that van. We went on vacation and to church and everything in that van. And the Lord blessed it to have it go the 20 years. Rob and I would go to the grocery store. Now, how many of you come from a large family? Okay, so only you that come from a large family will understand this, okay? When Robin and I would go to Giant Eagle with our six kids, this is what made shopping so much fun for us, is we would have people talk to us about having six kids. Now, you will only know this if you have a large family. If you have a small family, don't worry about this at all. But lots of people would walk by us, not talking directly to us, pretending they were talking to each other, but they would walk by and go, "That's why my taxes are so high, because I have to pay for welfare for people who have too many kids." And they walk, you know, and we would know they were talking about us, you know. And it's amazing that people would feel free to make comments about us having six kids. But we had lots of people that would come directly up to us. And my wife, I remember the people that come up to my wife and say, "Are you crazy? Are you insane? Is something wrong with you?" And they weren't kidding, okay? They were like, the main thing that people would come up to us and go, "How can you afford six kids? You can't afford six kids. Wait till you have to buy them cars and college and clothing and all of that." And then, of course, I would say to them, "Well, I work for the best, the wealthiest boss that there is." Immediately, they would think I work for Bill Gates or someone like that. And he's very generous and often gives surprise bonuses just when our family needs them. And we've never needed outside help. He's always taking care of us. And they'd be like, "And he's always looking for new workers if you need it, you know." Now, I know we're kiddingly saying that, and then eventually I tell them I'm in ministry, and but aren't all of us working for the same boss? Don't we all serve the same boss? I just enjoy watching God multiply and bless in miraculous ways your financial life. The sixth reason I enjoy being a Christian is my great friends. So I partied in high school and college where drugs flowed, and I have partied fellowship with Christians, and I can tell you that hanging out with Christians is a whole lot more fun than partying with the world. The world, when I was in the world, we all used each other. Friendships came and went, but it's when you have Christian friends, just the laughing, the fun, the no hangover the next day. The Christian friends that we've had over 40 years, we still have. You're friends forever. And it's a whole lot better. Seventh reason I enjoy being Christian is because of heaven. So I was thinking about this week. What do you think? My wife and I decided we're going to splurge and we're going to take the six kids and we're going to go on the most expensive vacation that you can imagine. And it's going to be expensive with the six kids. And we're going to have to save for a couple of years to be able to afford to go on this vacation. And what do you think that vacation is? What is it that everyone almost in the world has to go there? It's as close as heaven as you can get in the USA. Disney World. Disney, all right? Who has not been to Disney? You're waiting for heaven, I realize, okay. Or maybe they're like, we know it's expensive. So, and it is expensive, because when you're going to Disney World, and we went for 1 week, and you have to pay for five-day entrances for eight of us, that alone is like $2,000-$3,000, okay? Forget the motel, the travel, all that stuff. Although, you know what we drove in, right? Our 15-passenger green van, okay. In fact, when we drove down, we left, and I drove all through the night. The six kids all went to sleep. And then the next day, they get up, and we arrive there. I am dead shot from driving. And my kids are like, Dad, this isn't that bad at all. This was an easy trip. I was like, yeah. You know, it was exciting, the anticipation over the years, the 2 years leading up going to Disney. The thrill thinking about we're going to go to Disney, and it's like the anticipation of Christmas. I am enjoying looking forward to going to heaven. And so I just am praising the Lord. I have an eternal home I'm going to live in. I don't know, if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what's going to make you happy. Is, you know, it's like, wow. And so here's my bonus. I get to share Jesus with others. I get to share Jesus with others. This is my bonus. I've discovered that there's two ways you can be happy. One way you can be happy is when someone gives you a gift. Okay? You can get happy. Someone gave me a gift. But I discovered a second way you can be happy, and that's if you're the one giving the gift. Okay? So let me go back to this picture here. I think there's probably two ways to be happy. One way to be happy is to knock on someone's door. You're the person inside the house, and you open up the door, and someone gives you $1 million. The other person that I think is happy is to be the person that you knock on the door. You are a multi-billionaire, and you've decided you have so much money that you are going to give $1 million to different people. And so you randomly knock on someone's door and say, congratulations, I'm giving you $1 million. The giver is pretty, they're excited, they're fainting, they're screaming, and you're excited that you have the privilege that God so blessed you that you're going to give them $1 million. You with me? So I thought about this just this week, last Sunday, in fact. When you get to share Jesus with a person, and you offer them the gift, and that gift gives them a relationship with God and gives them eternal life, what is that gift worth? What's that gift worth? Priceless. It's priceless. You can't put a value to that gift of eternal life. It's worth all the money in the world. Last Sunday, I preached at Franklin Park, and then I got invited to a retirement center to preach in the afternoon. And Ruth Ann played the piano there, and about 40 people or so showed up, and I got to share the gospel, and I got to offer. I felt like the billionaire offering these gifts of eternal life, of people walking with Jesus. And 20 people took the gift and gave their heart to Jesus. Now, afterwards, after the service was over, all these people are coming up to me going, oh, Pastor Joe, we thank you for the sacrifice of your time to come minister to us. And I know this is probably out of your routine, and you know, you went out of your way. I'm thinking to myself, I just had the best time in the world. I just gave out $20 billion. That's how, I was like, you can't pay me for this. I just got to give out 20 gifts of Jesus to people. I've been doing this for 40 years since I've gotten saved. I've shared Jesus to people that got saved 40 years ago. And their whole lives have been changed. And 35 years ago, and 30 years ago, and 25 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 15 years ago, I've gotten to see people's lives and their families and their marriages all change over 40 years now. They don't even realize the blessing that they just got, that they got eternal life, they got their conscience cleared. They can now come to God in prayer and just the abundant life. They don't even realize the gift that they're opening up because they're only 1 week old in the Lord. But do you understand the joy that it brings me to think that I get the privilege of sharing that gift to people? So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray, Lord, that the church, that all of us would just come to appreciate our walk with Jesus. And that our walk would be so joyful, so hopeful, so loving, that the people of the world are going to ask us, what is your secret? Why is it you love your spouse so much? Why is it that your kids are special? Why is it that you enjoy coming to work on Monday? Why is it that you seem so on top of things? Why is it that even when you're going through tough times, you're hopeful and trusting and secure? Even when bad news comes. Lord, may people see, though they don't know why, but may they ask us the secret. And may we be able to share Jesus Christ. May people see Jesus in us before we speak his name. May your spirit come upon us. Lord, this is just my prayer, that we would not just be average Christians, but that we would be spirit-filled Christians, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit would just flow and manifest itself, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control would just flow from us upon the people around us. Bless us as we close out our service, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.